And good afternoon, everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful day in South Central Wisconsin. I want to say welcome to all of you, certainly in the greater Madison area, but beyond too. It's amazing how far this station covers. And every now and then we get calls from other outlying communities. I think, my gosh, we reach that far. So it is just a pleasure to have so many of you from the great state of Wisconsin listening to our program. I'm Carol Colby, and if you like the program, you can tell your friends about it. If they can't tune in at noon every Saturday, it's available on carolcobyradio.com, Carol, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. So just tune in online and listen to it at your convenience. And let's see, this segment of our program, I should tell you, is brought to you by the Medicine Shop Monona, caring beyond prescriptions, and independent living, your connection to an independent life. We always want to give wonderful credit to our sponsors who make this program possible. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and it's one that we shouldn't just be talking about. We should be taking some action too, but maybe with our guest's discussion today, we'll all get some better ideas on how we can act on our desire and our hope and our wishes to become well. Paul Riemann is here, and Paul is founder and coach of Well Today. And as he says, Well Today is all about achieving a journey to results. And Paul is a certified coach, nutritionist, personal trainer, and wellness program coordinator. Let me tell you a little bit about his background, because it is formidable. And I said to Paul before we went on the air, I said, you know, not all of us can achieve what you have achieved, and there are other definitions of wellness besides being this person that just does everything and does everything well. So he's going, he's going to talk about that, what all of us can do to create our own journey rather than follow in somebody else's footsteps. Paul began participating in triathlons in 1984 and credits the sport for actually igniting his passion for wellness. And since then, he has completed more than 100 running and multi-sport events. These include 20-plus marathons and 9 Ironman competitions. That's the one that blew me away. I've watched these Ironman, and one of our family members, my husband's son, has participated in 2 or 3 of them, and I know the training and just the discipline of going through it that day. Quite an accomplishment, Paul.
Thank you.
But, and you've had 2 Ironman World Championship races in Hawaii. You earned your certification in nutrition counseling and personal training from the National Exercise and Sports Trainers Association. Paul completed the National Wellness Institute's Wellness Program Manager certification and earned his coaching certification through EQ Alive, a University of Wisconsin-Madison executive MBA graduate and trained facilitator. Paul enjoys leading workshops and helping organizations achieve their wellness goals. Paul serves on the board of directors for the Rotary Club of Madison, will be president of the Rotary Club of Madison next year. And he serves as a permanent advisory board member for the Goodman Rotary 50 Plus Fitness Program, which gives more foundation and support to the fact that no matter what age you are, you can always be fit or at least begin your journey towards that accomplishment. Yes. Welcome, Paul. It is just such a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Carol.
This is what All About Living is all about, is finding ways to live well. And first of all, you are well today. What actually is wellness? I mean, we talk about health and then we talk about wellness. What is wellness as compared to health and the other terms we use?
Sure. From the National Wellness Institute, which actually is in Stevens Point, a lot of people in Wisconsin don't realize that. We have the National Wellness Institute right here in Wisconsin. And their definition is the one that I like most. And it's that wellness is a conscious, self-directed, and evolving process of achieving full potential. And what's interesting in that is that there's no mention of nutrition or exercise or anything. It's about full potential. So that's the one that we focus on, because then people can find their own path and say, well, you know, what are the things that I want? And then wellness is an activity and things that they can do to achieve their potential and the things that they want.
So it takes into account more than just how many muscles you've been able to develop or how far you can walk or run or anything like that. It sounds like a total person concept.
Exactly. And finding what works for people, what they're interested in. And just as we were walking up the stairs and you said, you know, it's not everyone's going to be a runner. And we were talking and saying, some people hate to run.
So don't run.
So don't run. Exactly. It's finding the things that work for you. And it also, what wellness is, I'll say what it isn't. It's not the wellness police. And because if people are told, you know, do this, don't do that, well, that's not going to work. People don't like that. And then, of course, if the wellness police are not around, then people are not doing the things that are going to help them reach their potential. You want the motivation to be intrinsic as opposed to extrinsic.
Well, we hear certainly the disturbing news today that as a nation, we are becoming more and more unhealthy. And what is the status of wellness in the United States?
Sure. Overall, we see the statistics, and I think a positive from the healthcare debate has certainly been more information and more awareness. So most of us are aware that over 2/3 of the population in the U.S. are overweight. And of course, that's leading to chronic diseases, diabetes, heart disease. And so there is work that needs to be done. On the positive note, of course, smoking now is below 20% of the population smokes. Back in 1965, over 50% of men smoked. So, and I've also seen statistics recently that the percentage of people overweight, that may be plateauing instead of going up like it has been for years. So that's a positive.
Well, all of the discussion and the focus on it really does bring it to the forefront, to the attention of everyone. The smoking statistic really impresses me. I was looking at a chart that you have of the world, mm-hmm. and actually the United States has cut their smoking the most of all. So in that instance, we are no longer in the middle or on the bottom rung of the ladder in health or wellness. Right. We are the leaders.
I think it's such a wonderful example of what can happen with wellness and what needs to happen. We did it with smoking, and it wasn't easy, and some didn't agree. But now, you know, because of the studies about secondhand smoke and affecting those that are not even smoking, and the constraints on smoking in the workplace, we're down to 20%, and that's a wonderful thing. So you could argue if we can do that with smoking, then we can certainly do it with lifestyle, wellness, exercise, diet, and other choices that will be helpful for everyone.
Looking at this smoking statistic and the success that we've had with it, what caused the success? Certainly, we kept taxing cigarettes more. Mm-hmm. There were major policy changes. Mm-hmm. Something that has become more apparent to me is the importance of changing policy to have anything occur. Mm-hmm. It's also become socially unacceptable to smoke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so which is more important, or is it all of the above, kind of a combination?
I believe it's in all of the above, that you want to do multi-pronged. You mentioned the social acceptance or not being acceptant. We were talking a few minutes about, you know, bringing your bag of carrots and string beans to work. And I think it is more normal. And we talk about this in our Wellness for Life workshop, that if someone's eating Doritos or other snack food, that's just more normal. And if someone's got that bag of carrots, it's like, are they trying to lose weight? Or, well, yeah, so it's just moving in that direction. So another example, if you're having a celebration at work and you have a sheet cake, well, terrific. And then if you have some vegetables or something that other people, I've been in situations where the cake was not very much was eaten. And when you give people an alternative, that's the thing. You want to give people alternatives.
Our guest today on All About Living is Paul Riemann. He's the founder and coach of Well Today. He's a certified coach, nutritionist, personal trainer, and wellness program coordinator. And as founder and coach of Well Today, you want people to create journeys for results. What do you do? How are you going about accomplishing that and actually doing it as a business?
Sure. The programs and workshops that we offer can be anywhere from a half a day. We even have, you know, we can do it for an hour and 2 hour programs. But ideally, it's a 6 week, maybe even we have a 12-week weight management class where we're working on wellness. It's not rocket science. We'll cover that in a little bit. You know, we have our list of top 5 things that work in wellness, and it's using these concepts we found that work well and work for wellness, and looking to change behaviors by offering over a period of weeks things like nutrition, exercise, people deciding and saying, well, what are the things that are most important to me? And then finding that motivation to make the behavior changes with the support from the class. So the workshops are our catalyst.
If you have any interest in asking Paul a question or making a comment, take advantage of the fact that he's here live in the studio today on 1670 WTDY. Give us a call at 321-1670, 321-1670, or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Paul, is it true that our lifestyle choices, our behaviors, really have the greatest impact on our health and wellness?
That's my experience. And one of the things, of course, you know, there's the healthcare debate, and we're looking for alternatives, ways to improve healthcare in the U.S. And one of the statistics is that it's anywhere from 25% to, I've heard, even over 50% of our healthcare costs are the result of our lifestyle choices, how much we exercise or don't, what we're eating, smoking, things like that. And one of the, I'm looking for it here, one of the statistics when we compare, when we look at the electronic medical record, for example, is an excellent initiative that's being undertaken, and that will improve healthcare, and we'll have more information available. And studies have shown that could save up to $80 billion. Well, that's
just terrific. By using electronic medical records.
Right. Mm-hmm. It'll be a multi-year effort because it's an information technology project. It'll take years and years. Some have disagreed with that amount of $80 billion. That seems high, and so maybe it's 60 or whatever the number is. It could be a terrific boon. Well, when you look at the fact that 25% of healthcare costs, a minimum, 25% are due to our lifestyle, well, if we take 25% of the $2.5 trillion that we spent in healthcare in 2009, well, that comes to $625 billion. So if we can even do a small chunk, a small dent in that $625 billion, and then we could certainly, there's such potential there.
They want to know how to cut healthcare costs. Well, it begins by looking in the mirror. As a layperson looking at this whole discussion, and I've done several programs on the buildup of healthcare legislation and what do we need to do to really correct our healthcare system and improve it in the United States, it's been clear to me that we each need to accept our role, some personal responsibility in doing what we can to be well. I don't care if we have national health care insurance or we don't, or they repeal the legislation or whatever. If we're just looking arm's length to another source to be able to control the costs and the delivery of our health care systems, it's going to fail no matter what. It's just the costs are going to go off the top of the roof.
Right.
We absolutely need to participate in the process. And until that message comes across as the number one thing that each of us can do, the rest of it seems to me will fall into place.
I agree. And this is a great opportunity to give kudos to you and your show, because one of the things that we found is works is it's not rocket science. It's immersing yourself. It's saying, you know, this is important to me. I'm going to make this part of every day, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour and a half. And so your things like your show that are sharing information, we've talked before, you know, you have information on vitamin D and various things that are working for people, that this kind of thing and this immersion is what I think is going to help people and turn the tide for positive, because again, in general, we need to make better health choices to reduce healthcare costs.
Well, after I say thank you, I said we'll stop for a break. I can't add anything better than what you have said. Thank you so much. And we will be back with more of our conversation with Paul Riemann, a certified coach, personal nutritionist, wellness program coordinator here on Madison 1670 WTDY, All About Living. I'm Carol Kobe, and stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. We're talking about wellness today with Paul Riemann, who is a wellness program coordinator, a nutritionist, a personal trainer. He is the founder and coach for Well Today, a journey to results. And he's talking about wellness and the importance of each one of us incorporating in our lifestyles what creates a wellness journey for each one of us so we can feel better and be at the peak of productivity and happiness in our life. And it's not just about being physically fit, but it's really achieving the maximum of what we can of our potential as a person. Mm-hmm. Paul, why is wellness so important?
Well, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the healthcare situation we're in and the escalating costs, and that's certainly one. There's really two pieces. When we look at the economic side, that's important, and then it's quality of life. So staying for a minute with the economic side, there's an analogy in wellness circles, and it's kind of going over the waterfall, and then someone's in the water, and then you got to save them. Well, I just heard it this week from Dr. Patrick Remington, and he did a very succinct metaphor using a river, and I'll just picture that there's a village and there's a river going through it, and people are falling in the river. And people save them, and there's tremendous cost, and they're saving the people, and they're taking care of them, and there's rescue helicopters and hospitals, and they're doing all these things. Well, that's what we need to do, and the metaphor being, of course, if you're in the river, you're sick, and we need to take care of people and do a good job at that. And it's the wellness piece is saying, let's not have people fall in the river. Let's have people fall in the river less. We're all going to get sick. But let's try to reduce that. And so if we're it's that upstream, reducing the amount of people that are getting sick from preventative causes. And as we just said, it's anywhere from 25% of the costs up to over 50% of costs are due to lifestyle choices. So it's that it's the wellness and the health promotion piece of it.
But getting people to take action, to make changes and stick with it, that is not easy. And what approach do you take to succeed where so many others have failed?
Sure. We've come up with our list of what we call our top five of what works in wellness. So we'll count them down. So number five, you already alluded to, it's balance. Is that there's four, you can see lists with six or seven. We go with four. It's physical, emotional, mental, and physical. And so, wait, I've got that twice. I'm sorry. It's physical, emotion, mental, and spiritual. And it's not just the physical attributes, that's important, but how are we doing emotionally? How are we doing mentally in terms of continuing education, those kind of things? Spiritual, however people define that for themselves. So one of the things we do in the workshop is we'll do an exercise and we rate, and we use the metaphor again of a car. And if each one of those is a wheel, then you could argue that you're only going as fast, so to speak, in your life as the slowest wheel. So of those four, again, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, where's the most area for improvement? So that's number five, counting down. So four, I mentioned before, it's not rocket science, and it's just wellness, making it a part of your life every day. One of the things we do in the workshop is we have 2 to 3 minute teachings where people share what has worked for them in their
life.
Isn't
that helpful, though?
Absolutely.
That's where some of your best ideas come from, I bet.
Absolutely. We, as the facilitators, learn a lot. People see it in action that, hey, these are things that have worked for me. People say, oh, that sounds great. I love the example. The next one is Laboratory of One, where people finding what works for you. So it's this group process and relationships and the creating of this culture in the workshop that really helps, and say people saying, all right, I want to do better, and this is a group that can help me. One of my favorite examples about this Laboratory of One and finding what works is we often stress that partners can be really good. You know, a partner that you're going to walk with, a partner that you're going to run with, a partner that you're going to meet at the health club or do an activity with, for example, or a partner if you're have a weight loss goal. And a woman said to me, well, you know, I cross-country ski and I used to have a partner, and then she was late and it was stressful, and so now I just go by myself and I really enjoy it. Well, that's terrific. So
Right. Again,
it's finding what works for you. So that's the third one. Second one for the top, next to the last for top five of what works for in wellness is measurement. And whether it's a pedometer and measuring your steps or your weight or someone's waist measurement, we also use resting pulse as a measure of. There are studies, there's a George Washington study, for example, for resting heart rate, that women with a resting heart rate of 14 beats lower typically it's about 72. So they had a group of women, and the groups that were up close over 72, closer to 76, and then those that were lower it was 62. They had a 25% reduced incident of heart disease.
With the lower heart rate.
So
a normal resting heart rate, because it can get way too low too, and then you're in trouble.
Right. That's possible medically, yes.
Right. Okay. So a normal resting heart rate should be about what?
70, 72.
Really?
And so in general.
Sounds high. I didn't realize it was that high.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. 70 to 72 is kind of average. And so what this study is saying, that people, and this was a study of women, in this case it's women, that had a higher than average heart rate compared to those that have a significantly lower heart rate, had, again, a 25% increased incident of heart attack. And so what we take out of this is that resting heart rate is something that's with us all the time that we can use as a measure of our fitness.
And so how do you get the heart rate to come down if it's over 72? What are some
exactly.
of the techniques?
One of the biggest one is cardiovascular. So it can be as simply as walking. This is a great opportunity to say walking, of course, is terrific. We all know that. And a way to really add benefit to your walking is to do a little what they call interval, where you're just walking faster for it could be as short as 40 or 50 yards. So you see a mailbox up there and you say, I've been walking for a little bit, I'm warmed up. Now I'm going to go that 40 yards to that next mailbox and I'm going to go, walk much faster.
That's what I do.
Good for you.
And we have a couple little hills, which I hate, and I don't do that very well. And I try to go faster in this one area, and there's a mailbox up the way. And so that's just my goal. So it's not like a forever thing. I see that mailbox. Just keep going, Carol. You can hit that mailbox and really go at a fast pace.
And maintain that pace. And that's terrific because you'll really increase the benefit of your walk.
You know what really works for me? Walking with someone so I don't even realize I'm doing it.
See, because you're talking, right?
I'm talking. Right. What I've discovered, in fact, we had a conversation yesterday at a luncheon. And we were trying to be honest about how we looked at things in life. And I said, to be honest, I don't really like exercise. I don't like to do it. I said, but then, and one of my best friends was there. And I said, but then Joan and I go walking together and we talk, and we walk forever.
See?
And I don't even know I've walked because it's been the conversation.
That's such a great example of laboratory of one, so to speak, finding what works for you and for anyone that hasn't found that thing with respect to exercise, because for years, I have a friend that's in her 60s that said, when I was a kid growing up, women and girls, we weren't supposed to sweat. We weren't supposed to exercise. And she's like, and now she's biking and running and she's just loving it. And she's like, I just feel like a different person. So she found her thing. We encourage people to, we were talking a few minutes ago about the elevator metaphor for wellness.
Yeah, and explain that. I love that.
Sure. We use this metaphor of an elevator and the idea is that the wellness, as you approach this and say, this is important to me, that your wellness level will go up. And where you get on doesn't matter. People are at different levels of wellness. Where you get on the elevator doesn't matter. The elevator's going up because you're putting energy and attention into it. And where you get off will be proportional to the amount of effort you put in. And part of that discussion, we say, most of us are somewhere in the middle, wellness-wise. And what happens is if we drop down low and we're sick, we figure it out and we do things different and then we come up to the middle. And what we encourage people to do is, most of us are in the middle. What are the things that we can do to go higher than we've ever been?
And it doesn't have to be everything on the top floor.
No.
Do you find that people sometimes are hard on themselves? They think they're all alone in this sense of guilt that they aren't doing what others are doing, or they're not fit, or they're not, haven't lost enough weight or.
Absolutely. And we'll kind of, for our wrap up, we'll talk about some of the things, like we have our 5-step process for ways to become more well. And one of them is that you're going to have bad days. You're going to have bad weeks. And so it's taking the pressure off yourself. One of the things that we cover is emotional intelligence and using those principles to move yourself through to reach your goals.
Let's talk about emotional intelligence. Our guest today on All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY, Paul Riemann, who is coach and founder of Well Today, and he is certified in just about everything that could help us in wellness. And I know you really work a lot with people in looking at their emotional intelligence to accomplish their goals. And explain what that is. I remember Daniel Goleman's book, which came out years and years ago, all about emotional intelligence, but it seems to have since dropped off. But you're reviving it now.
Well, many are. Yeah. From Daniel Goleman, the kind of the textbook definition is a set of abilities that enables us to understand and manage ourselves and our emotions effectively, and to understand and effectively relate to others. Well, when I boil that down, I say it's having our emotions work for us rather than against us.
Okay, so then how does that work or fit with wellness?
Sure. The first one, there's five main points. Again, sometimes there's 14, but five, I'll call it main areas. Self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. And so connecting that with wellness, it's that self-awareness. And it's knowing, well, how am I feeling and what am I going to do now? And it's that awareness because it relates to wellness as to, am I going to go for that walk? How do I need to set it up? What are my priorities? This also fits in, you're probably familiar with Stephen Covey and his big rocks.
Oh, absolutely.
And so
the seven habits of highly successful people, right? And a number of other things. Yeah.
Right. So it's that, I'll call it that give and take of seeing what's working for you. I have that self-awareness. I have my goals. We'll talk, we do what we call PSMART goal settings. We could talk about that in a minute. But it's using that self-awareness and some of the tools for motivation for delayed gratification and then setting up rewards for yourself so that that'll help you achieve your reward and then have that positive experience where you say, okay, I want to do more of that.
Well, the more I hear you talk, the more it seems to me that we should begin looking at ourselves and that we're okay. And how we define wellness for ourselves and the journey that we're going to take is our journey. And we shouldn't be worried about trying to follow somebody else's path. And there's not really a right or wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
as long as you're true to yourself.
Absolutely. And that's where the elevator analogy came from, is you get on where you get on, you get off where you get off. Where you are is fine.
Yeah.
And now if people want to set goals and they want to have some different behaviors for a more healthy lifestyle, great.
No, but you do have to make that decision that
right.
You just want to do something that's good for you and for your life.
Right.
We need to stop for a break. We're talking with Paul Riemann today, founder and coach of Well Today. We're talking about wellness and how to achieve it and what it means to each one of us. This segment has been brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center, and Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to our program. This segment is presented by Home Health United. You've got a friend right here online at homehealthunited.org. I'm Carol Kobe, and joining me on the program today live in the studio. So if you want to tune in, 321-1670 if you have questions of our guest, 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Paul Riemann is here. He is founder and coach of Well Today, and he's a certified coach, a nutritionist, a personal trainer, and wellness program coordinator. He has all the certifications, and he's a pretty remarkable individual in his own right, having accomplished a lot in his own journey, on his own journey to achieve wellness. And Paul, we were talking before the break about your approaches, and you were mentioning that you have to have balance, and it's really not rocket science. It's a laboratory of one, what's good for you, but you really look to others for wonderful ideas, but it has to be a program that's fit for you. You talked about the benefits of measurement, and such as our resting heart rate, and how that can make such a difference in our wellness, and simply doing some things like walking and doing little spurts of faster intervals can help bring that resting heart rate down a little bit. And there are a lot of other measurements too, but we didn't get to the top approach that you have, and I don't want to miss talking about that.
Sure. So for our top five what works in wellness, we find number one is small steps in the right direction. That I love. We had one participant that we had it was about 9 months later. We had a follow up, and she was saying, and I'm still drinking 4 or 5 diet sodas a week. It's like, okay, well, how many did you used to be? Well, it used to be a couple a day. And so it's just small steps in the right direction, whether it's eating more vegetables or eating more nuts or going for that walk. It's just making those small steps in the right direction. And again, for another metaphor, we use the metaphor of a snowball, that as we are making these choices and we're feeling better and we have more energy and we're sleeping better and we're getting our sleep, that then the snowball is going in the right direction, in the direction we want it to, and a snowball as it goes forward will gain momentum. And then we're clear sailing. Now, of course, the snowball can go in the other direction and gain momentum that way. And what's terrific about wellness and our choice is that at any point we can stop that snowball if it's going in a direction we don't want, just by making a different choice and saying, you know, I don't need to eat that full plate of food because I'm really not that hungry. Or for me, it's sometimes eating later at night. It's 9 o'clock and I'm tired, and then I'm going to eat a little, and I don't really need to eat. So it's just, you know what, I'm tired. So instead of eating, I'm just going to go to bed. And then I wake up and you get your vegetables and I eat a decent breakfast, and I'm on a good track again.
Mm-hmm. But it's not all or nothing. If you have fallen off the wagon, so to speak, and you've done something, that doesn't mean that you give up totally and you throw up your hands and then you just go back to all of the behaviors that you are really trying to incrementally change.
Right. And this gets back to the rocket science. You know, I almost feel silly saying these things. I mean, we all know these things. It's not rocket science. It's that we see the workshops that we do as a catalyst to make and an environment that people say, yeah, this is important, and I'm going to put more energy and set some goals.
When you talk about small steps, it brings to mind my absolute world's most favorite movie, What About Bob, with Bill Murray. And he talked about baby steps. Oh, just baby steps. And right. Of course, he drove Richard Dreyfuss nuts in that movie. Yeah. But he has little baby steps in getting on that elevator. And then when he tied himself up on the sailboat, I'm sailing, you know. And my little granddaughter, I had her, you know, age 5, I sat her down, you've got to see this movie. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And she'll, every now and then, you know, in front of me, just because she knows I got such a kick out of it, Grandma, I'm sailing. Right. But it is, it's the small steps, it's the baby steps and making progress. And he certainly made progress.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that can work for all of us, whether it's, again, going for that walk, getting the exercise, doing something that you know is going to help you.
Richard Dreyfuss crumbled there for a while, but he got back on track and got a little bit more reality in his life after that whole experience. But anyway, you were talking about wellness and all these things that we can do individually. But it seems to me that the work environments are beginning to focus more on that. There is a relationship between how well a person is, an employee is, and their productivity on the job. Yeah. Is there more emphasis being placed on this in the work site?
Yeah, I think there is, and it's creating better work sites, and there are so many studies. You know, it used to be, you know, 10, 12 years ago, it's like, well, you know, what is really the return on investment? And there's a terrific issue brief by the Wisconsin Public Health and Health Policy Institute that is a summary of 139 other studies that have been done on the return on investment of wellness programs. And the upshot is that they say, you know, on average, it comes to about $3 of return on investment for every dollar, $3 return for every dollar invested. And you say, well, you know, so what are the benefits? It's things, as you've mentioned, like less sick days, reduce healthcare costs, improve productivity, which includes, there's a term, I don't know if you're familiar with this, called presenteeism.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
versus absenteeism. But it's more than, you can be not absent, but not present either.
Exactly. And so presenteeism, you're sick, you probably shouldn't be at work, but you're there. And so less presenteeism as a result of workplace wellness programs, lower workplace injury, increased retention, and increased worker satisfaction. So these are all things that add up to that 3-to-1. Some studies have shown it can be high as 7 or 8-to-1. But what's important is that there be measurements in place, that you've got an overall plan for the program, and you've got some baseline measurements, and then you follow up on the measurements.
You really are a strong proponent of measurements, aren't you?
Well, I am, and it's my experience, and even from my training, that if I have a certain number of hours that I'm set for a week, and then I have, you know, 4 weeks, and here's the hours I need to hit, that's going to help. We know from business goals, it's the same thing. When you have some goals, and that's one of the things we cover, of course, is we've all heard of SMART goals. And we do that. We have participants set SMART goals, specific, measurable. You know, it's got to be time-based. The thing that we add is we call them P SMART goals, and we add the P for public, that we encourage people in their wellness goals to tell a friend, tell your coworkers, tell your family, and it'll just help you with that accountability and to achieve your goal. And then, of course, set up a reward also.
So what are you doing with your company Well Today to go into a worksite environment and bring about these organizational benefits and improve the wellness and the the health and the productivity of people.
Sure. The main first thing is ideally you have some sort of a wellness team. It could be as small as two or three people. It could be eight or nine people. And working with these teams, and a very good thing to do early on is an interest survey where you're asking employees, well, what are you interested in? It's the classic listening to the customer. You want to make sure you have a communication plan so doesn't seem spotty, so people understand, well, what's happening and why and what's next. You want to give people alternatives, whether it could be workshop, it could be incentives, but asking them what's important to them.
And then do you actually put on programs within the worksite?
Yes, that's one option. You can have employees, for example, some places, we're all looking to save money. A lot of times there might be a yoga instructor or someone that leads meditation. And so a lot of times you can have employees do things for other employees. Another avenue people can go, and I encourage listeners to Google the Wisconsin Worksite Wellness Award by the governor. And it's a terrific program where you can answer, it's about 60 questions, and it'll lead you towards a path, and they'll give you a bronze, silver, or gold rating once you answer these questions. So you need to get senior level support. You go through these questions. It's set up so they're very leading questions that they'll say, well, do you have X, Y, and Z? Well, when you have those, then you'll get more points. And so you have to work with your interest survey to say, well, what are the things that are going to be well-received and successful at a given organization?
How has the new healthcare legislation impacted you? I know much of it will be rolled out over the next 4 to 6 years, so not everything is in place right now. And there is some aspect of it that does focus on wellness. I think the thinking behind the legislation is that we need to move ourselves from this model of the heroic treatment to more prevention and wellness up front, so that some of these conditions don't even arise in the first place, or if we do have some kind of a disease or illness, that we can confront it early on and it doesn't become so extreme. So it seems to me that there is this movement built in, or at least that's the concept. Whether it actually happens or not, we're forecasting in the future. So with this wellness aspect built in, and I know for businesses 50 employees or less, there is a small segment designated for wellness. How does your company fit in with that?
Sure. There is grant money starting in 2011 that'll be available for small businesses to implement workplace wellness programs by small businesses. It's fewer than 100 employees who work more than 25 hours a week.
Okay.
And so it's people that don't have a wellness program can apply for these grants from a $200 billion five-year program that starts again next year. So that's the most immediate. And then starting in 2014, there are some increased tax credits for businesses of all sizes. And there are other more global initiatives, things such as the development of a national health promotion plan, and more technical assistance and web portals and more information. So it's more of a lot of it is an awareness and a help companies achieve successful wellness programs. This is a statistic or a statement by Michael O'Donnell, who's the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Health Promotion. And he believes that the provisions in the healthcare reform legislation are going to accelerate the evolution of health promotion by a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful to hear, because again, it's there's dollars available, but it's also kind of that awareness, and it goes back to that river analogy where it's how, you know, people are going to get sick, but how do we make lifestyle choices so we're putting more of an emphasis on staying healthy, and again, then it gets back to that quality of life. Like, well, sure, that's something that we'd want to do.
We talked about why it's worked for smoking, and there was kind of a three-pronged looking at policy change, looking at taxation, and then social acceptance. Mm-hmm. And it seems like what's going on with the concept of wellness is very similar. We've certainly had significant policy with new healthcare legislation, and there's tax benefits built in.
Right.
For encouraging wellness and taking advantage of opportunities. And then it's becoming, I think, more and more socially acceptable that at least we're talking about it, and And we need to do something about our sense of wellness. And Michelle Obama's program of wellness with children. And it's got to start when it's young. So it's a way of life throughout your life and not a heroic, it doesn't necessarily have to be a heroic measure at age 50 or something.
Right. And it's just
not that you can't start at age 50. But
well, exactly. Yeah. You can. And it's just what you said. It's, again, the people that have worked for, in wellness for 10 and 20 years, the thing that they always come back to, and I've learned from them, is it's all about culture. And so you could say culture in the workplace, culture in your family and meal times, and whether it's, you know, what is being served along with having, you know, the family there. And then in society, that culture and what is going on is the rock that's being pushed to increase wellness overall, similar to what happened with smoking.
If someone wanted to contact you, how would we reach you?
Sure. Our website is www, of course, wellness.today.com, and we have information on our programs, and we also have information, you know, on our background, but also there's a contact information page. You can just fill that out and email us, and we'd love to learn more about people's needs. It can be an interest in wellness programs. It could be employers. We've had situations where groups of friends of, you know, 10 or 12 friends got together and said, hey, we'd like you to put on a program, and we can work that out too.
I love that idea. Getting a group of friends come over and it's kind of the program after dinner or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, great. We're going to stop and we'll be back with our final minutes with Paul Riemann after these messages. This program will also be available after the beginning of the week on www.carolcobyradio.com. Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. So the contact information and the entire program, you can listen to at your leisure and pass the word on to your friends and family. We'll be right back with more of our discussion with Paul Riemann here on All About Living on Madison 1670 WTDY after these messages. Welcome back. This hour has just flown by. Our guest is Paul Riemann, who is founder and coach of Well Today. He's a certified coach, nutritionist, personal trainer, and wellness program coordinator. More about what he does and his company is available on at welltoday.com, www.welltoday.com. This program will also be available to you at carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. We, in our last few minutes, we're talking about the importance and the focus really on young children today to increase their wellness, and their obesity levels are just, you know, skyrocketing. Yeah. Trying to get a handle on that, because that's just the precursor to some of the major chronic diseases that exist in our nation. But it's certainly never too late to begin. How would you encourage someone who is going into their, you know, the second half of their life, 50 plus or whatever, to age well and to age successfully?
Sure. The main thing is that motivation. So you're looking for that motivation, and it's just making that choice and saying, you know, I want to do better. So after that choice is made, then it's looking for something that is will work for them, whether it's that walk with your friend with the phone or you know, taking a course so that then it's becomes more of your life and you kind of changing habits. Some terrific resources are, again, this gets back to that not rocket science and immersing yourself. There's Dr. Weil. It's drweil.com.
That's Andrew Weil.
Andrew Weil. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Another one that I think is terrific is zenhabits.net. Another one is therealage.com.
I get website. That all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the best ways is just make it become a bigger part of your life. And it can be through email, through listening to your show, that I get these emails. Some of them are every day. Some are every twice a week. And it could be a topic I'm interested or not, or I have time or I don't. But it's just immersing and making it more a bigger part of your life.
One of the things that I've learned, because I'm into that age category, balance and strength training. Mm-hmm. So I do work out and I stand on half a ball and I do squats with weights and that kind of thing. And we're somehow going to keep me strong and keep me standing, because falls is such a major detriment to health.
Sure.
So.
Well, it's funny you lead in, and you found something that is working for you now that you like. We were just on a bike ride this morning with our Rotary mm-hmm. biking group, and Roth Judd, who's a member, was there, and I didn't realize his daughter actually teaches log rolling classes. So I'm driving over here and I'm thinking, what a terrific example of something that's completely different, completely fun. And someone could try that and say, you know, and I'd probably do better if they need to lose a little weight. Well, then there's the motivation. I want to do better at log rolling. For me, I sign up for a race and then it's three mm-hmm. months out and oh boy, there's a triathlon coming up and that gives me that motivation. So it's people finding their own motivators.
One of the things that my husband and I signed up for was ballroom dancing.
Terrific.
I could ballroom dance, and it's one of those exercises that I enjoy while I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. It's not that I enjoy it after it's done because I'm so proud of myself that I did it.
Right.
And of course, with Dancing with the Stars, it's just taking off like, you know, mm-hmm. skyrocketing, and it's so much fun, and it requires such grace and stamina. And talk about cardiovascular when you're out there. Moving around the floor, it's got a lot of benefits.
Exactly.
You have 5 steps to change your lifestyle for better health. And before we run out of time, let's go over those.
Sure. We call it, it's changing your lifestyle because it is about lifestyle and changing habits. That's so important because we don't want, again, it's not the wellness police. It's what are the things that will stay with you. So the first one is deciding that you want to change your lifestyle. So you have to make that decision and then find your motivators. So what we do in the workshops is we have an exercise about what do you want? And people are listing the things they want. And quality of life and the ability and the energy, all those things will go up with increased wellness. Set rewards, the big rocks exercise from Stephen Covey and prioritizing, finding what's most important. So find the motivators. Number three is setting the goals and rewards and then immerse yourself. You know, we've talked about that. So make it a bigger part of your day and you have timelines, you've got the reward, and then celebrate that and make sure that other people know about it. The number four is, and 4 and 5, I'd say, are the most important. Number four is know that you're going to have kind of weak moments, bad days, even bad weeks. And so you're preparing for that. You know it's going to happen. And ideally, we don't want everything to just come to a stop because we've had a bad day or we've done, made some choices. It can be 6 days of really good eating, and you take a day and you're just letting the steam off. That's great. Overall, for the week, you've had a good week. And then the last one is being a leader. Now, not the wellness police, but I think it changes the paradigm where you say, all right, this is important to me. I'm making some changes. How do I be a leader, and how do I increase the wellness in my world and in my the people that I'm around on a day-to-day basis?
And what a good idea. There are different ways that we each can do that, and so that we kind of walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Yeah. Oh, great. One of the areas that I think gets a lot of bad press or is totally ignored is the importance of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a strong proponent that people get enough sleep
Absolutely.
To make all of this work.
And you know, it's funny because this is one that I'm challenged sometimes myself where, you know, there's things to do and it's getting late and maybe I haven't been as efficient as I needed to. It is so important because a lack of sleep, of course, can affect those 4 areas of balance. It'll affect us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So it is so important. And just from a strictly physiological standpoint that, and I've definitely seen this with myself, I wonder if you have, is that when I haven't gotten enough sleep, that I eat more.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And the
body is more sluggish and
right. And the mind is more sluggish
and the glass is half empty instead of half full. And right. It's just everything. It affects everything.
And the physiology for the hunger, the lack of hunger lack of proper hunger signals is that while sleeping we reach proper levels of leptin, and if we don't have those proper levels, then we can feel hungry all the time and eat more.
And we only have a minute left, but tell me, let's touch on nutrition.
Sure.
You know, once we get enough sleep that we don't have these extra urges for hunger and we're going to eat well. What are some, we know we're supposed to eat well, sure. but what are some specifics that we really need to kind of prioritize in making those decisions?
Sure. Two things that come to mind right away is, one is have a good breakfast. Because if we're not having a good breakfast, then it's kind of like being underwater and then you come up for air and you're really hungry and you can overeat. So have a good breakfast with some fruit, some complex carbohydrates, some protein, even some high quality fats. That will be very important. And there's a study that I have here, and that a body mass index was lowest amongst persons that had the higher percentage of calories at breakfast. You know, I won't go into the details, but it's important. You can actually reduce your weight by shifting your calories and having more at breakfast.
And what should you have at breakfast?
Sure. Complex carbohydrates, fruits. Again, I'll always go back to find out what works for you, how it works for your energy levels. But things that are super high fat or processed are not going to give you the energy that you want. And again, you know, you've heard the break fast, you know, breakfast, break fast. Obviously, you want to break it with whole foods is ideal.
We are almost out of time. Any final, in 20 seconds, any final advice or words?
No, just thank you for this opportunity. It's really been fun.
Thank you, Paul Riemann. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I've learned a lot having you as a guest today on All About Living. Paul Riemann, founder and coach of Well Today, www.welltoday.com. You can find out all the information there. Thank you to our sponsors, Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, Tierville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, and Independent Living. I'm Carol Kobe. You've been listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Now go out and have a great rest of the weekend.